On this first Sunday of Advent, our Lord reminds us to stay awake. Don't fall asleep. When you think about it, we spend a third of our life sleeping. 8 hours out of every 24 hours, some less, some more, is given to the non-waking slumber. In other words, our mind and soul's there, but they become inactive, passive. The imagination runs away with all these dreams or fantasies or whatever happens in our sleep process. But it's a lot of time spent in inactivity. And the Lord's saying, be active, watchful. Why? So that we may turn to him and see his face and we shall be saved. The psalm gives us the response to the gospel. We need to turn to the Lord. You see, God never turns from us. We turn from him. That's why we have to convert, turn back to the Lord, turn back to the light. When we turn away from him, we walk into shadows and darkness. So during Advent, we reorientate ourselves, turn back to God, so that we may see his face and be saved. The only time you'll actually spiritually see his face is in heaven. That's why it's called the beatific vision. The vision, the beholding of the blessed. And God will see us and we will see God. And you won't be able to do that until you perfectly reflect Christ in your own face. Not so much face, but your countenance, your presence. The word here, face, is far more than a nose and eyes and mouth. And that reality is something we should always take on board. And during the second Eucharistic prayer, which is the oldest of our prayers, it has that phrase that we'll see the face of God in heaven. We'll behold God as he is. And Advent's that preparation time for his birth. And it's also a preparation time with regards our own future. Now, in that regard, Advent has two themes. One's historical and the other is personal. Historically speaking, we should know the sequence of events leading up to the birth of Christ. The where, the when, the who, the what and the why of what is happening. And much of that can be learned from good Bible studies, from books and texts. We should know, for example, that in the first joyful mystery of the Rosary, the Annunciation, it's the angel Gabriel tells Mary at Nazareth she's to become the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, and also that her cousin Elizabeth has fallen pregnant in her old age. And then Our Lady goes from Nazareth in the north all the way down to Ein Karim to help Elizabeth for months, and then she travels back up north. That's a long distance to travel. I put in the bulletin how far it is, just one way. She was wearing sandals or shoes or whatever. It was a dirt road. She had to provide for herself. Think about the hardships just involved in that one trip of the visitation, not to mention the big journey down to Bethlehem for the birth of our Saviour. There's much around the events of Advent leading to Christmas that we ought to soak up. And we can do that by buying good books or CDs on this topic. We have our annual book sale. The shop, the Cardinal Newman Resources Bookshop, has come down to us. We don't have to go to them. We're spoiled here at Lavington. So please make use of the effort that these people have put in, the Smiths, to provide good resources for our historical nourishment. CDs, DVDs, books, prayer sheets, chaplets, rosary, whatever you want, it's out there. And if it's not out there, she can get it for you. And Gay Smith was telling me that she's had good sales this year because of the COVID restrictions, people not being able to access the sacraments and prayer in a church. They've provided for that in their homes, and therefore statues and rosaries and so forth have been more popular this year, which is, I suppose, a good spin-off of our COVID virus. Leaving that aside, the historical preparation, we should also have a personal preparation with regards Advent and how well we're going. How spiritually tuned in are we to God? And we can do that by focusing on a beautiful verse in the first reading. For you hid your face from us and gave us up to the power of our sins, says Isaiah. And yet you are our Father, we the clay and you the potter. We are all the work of your hand. The prophet is reminding us, don't turn from God. When you do, you fall into your sin. Turn back to God, for you're being moulded by God. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's forming us. A potter just doesn't have a piece of clay there. He does something with the clay. And God is forming us every day of every week of every year. You might not note that, but that's how we're being formed, made into saints, so that we're able to enter heaven and see him. And notice too that a potter uses his hands as he forms the clay. And he puts pressure on that clay in different places so as to form the shape. And if the clay could speak, it might say, oh, you're pushing too hard here. Oh, I don't like that. Oh. We're a little bit like that. God's forming us, and sometimes it's the hardship or the weather or a sadness in the family or issues at work. That's his formation. He's teaching us, be patient, be kind, think well of that person. That's how he's making virtues come to be. And I sometimes think about the Holy Family and all the issues they had to deal with. Not that they had to be formed, but that's an example to us that we shouldn't complain when things don't go our own way. And one person who lived that out in a rather remarkable manner and became the patron saint of the missions was Francis Xavier. He was a Jesuit. His feast is this week. We have a school named after him in town, not called Xavier, but Xavier. And he was a Spaniard, like Ignatius. Ignatius of Loyola founded the Jesuits in the 16th century. And when Francis Xavier, a rich nobleman from the Basque country, was studying in Paris, he met Ignatius. And initially, they didn't kind of get on too well because of their background. But eventually, he saw the love of God in this extraordinary missionary and joined the apostolic band of Jesus called the Jesuits. Eventually, after taking their vows, they were working for the Holy Father in Rome. And Francis always wanted to be a missionary, yet Ignatius said, no, I'm in charge here. You're not meant to be doing what you want, but what God wants, and I'll tell you when you can do this. In other words, he was being formed in obedience. Many a time he thought, maybe I should go there, maybe I should do this. And the superior would say, no, you just do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And eventually he was given permission, and then he went. And what a story would be told. He went initially to India, then Japan, and died off the shore of China. And all the time, in doing his missionary work, he had to be obedient. He had difficult times of hunger and hardship. He had to learn languages. He had to meet people who were hostile to the Christian faith. And that was his formation. That's how God the potter was forming him. He never lost heart nor hope. They say he baptized about 30,000 people and set the church up in those countries, which is still going today. He is a great example of how we can go out to our fellow Australians in preparation for Christmas and, in God's ways, be a source of inspiration to them by knowing, one, the faith, and two, by living it out and not complaining when God wants to form us. Ignatius knew the hardships that Francis Xavier would endure, but he also knew that that was the means by which Francis Xavier, at the young age of 46, would become a famous missionary. For that reason, he's the patron saint of the missionaries on earth, along with Saint Therese of Lisieux. So we ask him to be apostolic, help us to be apostolic, and filled with enthusiasm for the birth of Christ, not just this year, but in the hearts of so many Australians.